much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Test 1 2 1 2 test. Testing. All right, you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1 2 3
Bad boy!
4 5 6
B.I.G.
You want to hear some of the party jamming and music mixing that I'm doing here at K-Rock World's Famous? Hey, we got a briefer from Journey stick coming up, and then we got our Fog Hat Flapjack Snack Attack. The surviving members of Fog Hat are going to be getting together at the IHOP on Sunset. So bring a plate, stack them high. Meet the members of Fog Hat, the Fog Hat Flapjack Snack Attack. Well, I've just had a mini stroke, but that's not going to affect what I'm saying here at all. Monday morning panty giveaway. Call in 17th caller. Get the previous panty. Hey, oh, we got a Drew's coming out right now. Whole house left from 5 miles paralyzed. Here's Judas Priest.
And now,
let's play some basketball.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, Patton Oswalt, come on.
Well, he's a genius. And I would so go to that Fog Hat Flapjack Snack Attack. I'll tell you that.
Sure you would.
I'd be there at the IHOP. Are you kidding me? The surviving members of Fog Hat? That sounds fun.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 20th of February.
I have, you know, I often mock how quickly into the program Kevin can screw up.
What did I do?
First sentence out of his mouth. Oh, no, you're flawless. Okay. Flawless today because you woke up like this.
Right.
I have already tweeted my excitement for the exhilarating new Monday Kevin and Bean Show today.
Oh, good.
And it's really less Monday than it is Tuesday.
It feels a little like Monday because we didn't work yesterday.
I mean, you can see the error.
Right.
But sure. I have to tell you that I realized that before the show even went on the air, I had already screwed up.
I really get tired of people not paying attention to spelling and detail on Twitter.
Right, exactly. How hard is it to get something on Twitter right?
Just glance at it.
Just look at it a little bit. So anyway, I apologize, and I have to offer my resignation, as we learned from that British House of Lords guy last week.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy. I
agree.
That guy is right. Hey, Allie, can you talk about last night, or do we save that for later when we recap our weekends?
The Atlanta screenings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They showed two of them last night. They premiere March 1st, and we got to see the first two. And if they would have said, listen, are you guys cool sitting here and watching the whole season? I would have been like, yes, sir,
sure.
Please, and thank you.
Even if you had to come straight here, you would have been fine.
100%.
Yeah.
That show was almost all of our favorite new shows of last season, and I'm so excited to see it come back because doesn't Donald Glover seem to you guys like he's operating on a different level than most other people on TV?
100% is.
Like, I just can't wait to see what he does next with it. Was it amazing?
It was really good. It was great.
Was he there?
He was. He, the head of FX introduced the whole thing, and then Donald came out, and by the way, the head of FX did a whole like chunk about all the awards they've won, how great it is, how wonderful it is to experience the show and get to push it out on the air. And it's something everyone needs. And Donald walks out and he says, so weird. I was going to say everything that he just did. And now it's awkward and it's weird. But it was amazing. And he looked like Lando Calrissian because he was wearing what he was wearing, I was like, that is a straight up Lando leather jacket. And I'm very confused by it, but I'm into it.
It is it's a good time to be Donald Glover.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All right. Well, we got a lot of show today, but I want to start with this story that I find fascinating on so many levels. There was an exhibit in Philadelphia at the museum there, the Philadelphia Franklin Institute. There was a museum of priceless Chinese artifacts. One of which was a 2,000-year-old terracotta warrior statue that was on loan, valued at $4.5 million on display in the museum. Now, for some reason, and I don't know, I guess I don't go to enough museums to know this, but I thought that they pretty much make it so that you can't touch the artwork. Like, things that are valuable, I feel like, are behind ropes or in glass cases.
Yeah, usually in glass cases.
Yeah, it's usually not just out on the floor where anyone can walk up to it. But for whatever reason, that's how it was on display. So Michael Rohana has been arrested for what ended up happening. He was at the museum in December, and here's a side note in the article that makes me laugh, at an ugly sweater party hosted by the museum.
All right.
So he's there for that. During the event, he and a few of his friends entered the closed-off Terracotta Warrior exhibit, and after his friends left, Mr. Rahana took a selfie with one of the statues. So far, so good, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He then put his hand on the left hand of one of the warriors and snapped something off. It turned out to be the warrior's thumb, which he took home with him where he lived in Delaware that evening.
That must be mine.
He broke off the thumb of a statue that was made in the year 209.
Wow.
That wasn't good.
A museum
also,
worker.
I'm with Bean on the museum.
Uh-huh.
For not keeping it away from that guy.
I mean, I guess you could certainly argue that, but that also, just because they made it possible for somebody to vandalize the artwork doesn't mean this guy's not all in the wrong.
Agreed.
Though, right?
Agreed.
But they should have avoided that, especially it's not yours. It's on, you know, it's on loan from another country. So a museum worker discovered the missing thumb on January 8th, and then the FBI Art Crime Unit began to investigate. You guys know that was a thing?
Art crime?
The Art Crime Unit.
Hmm.
That's what they do. Surveillance video helped the FBI to both the thumb and the suspect. One of the people went to the museum with Rahana told law enforcement officials that on the ride on the train back to Delaware, he was bragging about sneaking into the exhibit and having a thumb from one of the warriors. Again, is that the type of thing you tell people? If you've broken the, aren't you terrified for the rest of your life that they're going to find out it's you and you keep that under wraps?
Not that guy, probably. Yeah. If that guy takes the thumb.
Right?
No, not that
Is that,
that
a
guy.
Thumb in my pocket? Or Yeah, he's an idiot. I hate this guy.
When the FBI agent went to interview Rahana and asked if he had anything that he wanted to turn over, he handed over the thumb, which was in a desk in his bedroom. He's been charged with theft of an object of cultural heritage from museum, concealment of an object, and interstate transportation of stolen goods. He's out on bail right now. China, by the way, livid about this, asking for the strongest possible penalties. And this makes me sad for America. Over the past 40 years, the center has organized about 260 exhibits around the world featuring the warriors, and there's never been a situation like this. Naturally, it had to happen in America, and of course, it had to happen in Philadelphia. So does this guy's penalty, should it be drastically increased because of the value of the artwork, is one question I have for you. If he'd broken off the thumb of something that was worth $5,000, should it be a different sentence than breaking off the thumb of something that's worth $4.5 million? Same crime.
Yeah, but again,
I go
with Kevin and I say the majority of this is on the art museum.
You have to assume that people are going to break the thumb off of a statue.
Yeah, if you just walk up all willy-nilly to a statue, yeah.
But I would think isn't it also common knowledge to everybody that goes to a museum, you're not supposed to touch the artwork.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Well,
So I don't know. It's an interesting case. I'll be curious to see what happens or if somehow China will figure out a way to force him to go there and live for the rest of his life in prison. I think it's unlikely. I don't think that's probably what's going to happen.
But fair.
But way to go, Philadelphia.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're what's wrong with everything.
Mm. Right. Today we're going to take phone calls on the topic you were unknowingly cruel to someone with a disability. You didn't realize it at the time, and you were unknowingly cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And it scares me that most of us have a story.
Yeah. And you feel terrible, and
yes.
you wouldn't do it again.
Right.
You take it back, you apologize, but at the time, you didn't know.
Bean is in a crime ring. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Yeah, not it's in really a crime concerning.
Ring. I think it's a crime ring.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Saw the neighbors yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
I still didn't say anything.
See? Crime ring.
Okay.
You're complicit.
Apparently so.
We also have the Bachelor Report on the program today with Petros Papadakis.
These were hometown dates?
Hometown dates, yes.
Okay.
And boy, what a wonderful show that is, where they take all these people to their homes, and then the girls have to introduce the guy to the mom and dad, mm-hmm. and they have to go, mom and dad, I'm one of the four finalists that might be proposed to another couple of days. Can we get your blessing?
How
romantic is that, mom and dad?
It's just terrible. I don't know if you saw Fergie's national anthem, but it's fun to have another one to bend about when we talk about the worst of all time.
That bad?
The worst, I would say one of the top three worst of all time.
I just watched the snippet that is on the Kevin and Bean Instagram, uh-huh. as well as your Instagram.
Right.
That was enough.
Yeah, it was.
The whole thing was like that?
It was stunning. I mean, there were players laughing.
Yeah.
They showed Jimmy Kimmel. He was trying desperately not to laugh.
You can see what she was going for. But she kind of lost the plot halfway through.
I think she was going for sexy anthem, and I don't know that we need that.
No, I don't think so.
Just sing the national anthem. You can make any other song your own, but the national anthem, just straight ahead sing it.
Yeah.
And great news today as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. Lovely, the band on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
That band has been together like a year.
Yeah.
And they already have a song on K-Rock, by the way.
Yep.
They know what they're doing.
Yep.
Good stuff. Hey, Tuesday morning, it turns out, here on the Kevin and Bean Show and all around America, Allie McKay's in for our first look at what's happening.
Turns out what's happening is everyone went to see Black Panther.
Everyone, every
everyone
single person
in the world, if the world was about $235 million. $235 million in its debut.
What were they guessing at the end of last week? 160?
They were saying 160 to like 190. But yeah, $235 million. That's incredible.
I mean, I guess that's okay.
Yes. I don't follow business. Is that a lot? Is that considered
that,
a lot?
That is an absolute juggernaut, if you will. A strong performer globally as well, supposedly making over $400 million. So doing pretty good.
Wow.
It's first long weekend out, and it cracked the top five of openings of all time, which is The Last Jedi, Jurassic World, Marvel's Avengers, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And that seems to be four.
And then Black Panther.
And then Black Panther. Yeah. Wait, that's only one.
You
two,
said
three.
Top five. So
yeah, but no, that's only three. Star Wars, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jurassic World.
Right.
They put The Last Jedi, Jurassic World together.
Ah.
And that's a movie I haven't seen.
It's
but
not
I'm very
a movie.
Willing to see.
That's not a movie.
Yeah, that's not a bad showing. So coming in number one at $235 million, and I'm sure those numbers will go up more even today. Followed by, it's just sad, just followed by Peter Rabbit at $23 million.
23.
Which is pretty good for a damn rabbit, right?
Sure.
But very sad. 50 Shades Freed, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, The 1517 to Paris, The Greatest Showman, Early Man, Maze Runner, Winchester, The Post, and Samson. Rounding out the top
Samson.
10. No idea. Sounds maybe Jesus-y?
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Like
gotta
a Samson Delight. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Gotta be a Bible thing.
A lot of people hooking up in the Olympic Village, which we always hear about.
It's always a thing.
But now we can monitor those hookups via apps.
I'm sorry?
Apps like Bumble, Tinder, that type of thing. You can see how many people are swiping, how many people are checking out people in the Olympic Village. It had to be back in the old days, and kids, try and follow along here. You had to get up and, like, walk somewhere.
Right, true.
And then meet some other athlete and be like, hey, what do you say we bone?
Have some skills.
But now, no, just a little swipe right, swipe left, and you're good. But Bumble says they have seen a 50% spike in swipes since the game started a little over a week ago. And the most hookup action with their fellow Olympians goes to alpine skiers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's according to the app. Coming in second, hockey players, followed by freestyle skiers and cross-country skiers, tying for third. I don't know what's happening with snowboarders, but...
Come on, step it up.
Yeah, they are.
That's a surprise. I would think that they would be all over this. And by the way, just like in their regular life back home, curlers can't get any.
Oh. Well, they're too busy doping. Who knows if anything works down there with these
Kevin,
curlers.
Kevin, you're our Olympic correspondent. Please explain the Russian doping scandal in curling.
I can't. They tested him and it tested positive for doping. As is a there, curler.
Is there some sort of extreme endurance that is required of which I am unaware?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay.
I think he just did it because that's how you're supposed to do it when you're from Russia. I don't know.
So they test the first test,
right,
and then they have
back
a backup
positive.
Test.
Right.
Have they tested that one yet?
They've done the backup test.
Okay.
But the results haven't come back yet.
And then there
but
was,
it's almost always the same.
Yeah. But there was word that maybe somebody sabotaged something he was drinking, something
now,
like
I'm
that.
I'm sure that's what
like
happened.
Like another teammate that was mad. He was getting all that sweet curling action.
Well, I will tell you, though, that if you are Russian, it's going to be hard to get anyone to believe that your sample was tampered with when the reason you can't wear the Russian uniform and salute the Russian flag at the Olympics is because your whole country has been knocked out of the Olympics for doping.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So you automatically kind of look guilty by association, even if you're clean.
Kevin loves those curlers.
I mean,
though.
But the curler.
I know. Of all
of
sports.
All sports. How is curling the one that gets tagged?
I love it so much. Keeping with this whole dating thing, this is so interesting to me. Did you know there's something on Tinder where you can actually use something called passporting, which means that you could go to a different country on your Tinder? So let's say you're going to be going to England. You can then use your passport on Tinder for England so you could hook up some dates before you get there type of thing. There has been a massive 1,850% increase in users passporting at the games. So that means they can swipe their location to be set over there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is they're not going there. It's just so they can swipe. So when the athletes come back to the U.S., they're already on their swipes.
Interesting. Wow. There's a lot of ways to set that up.
Man, I'm so into these kids just whoring right there on the app. Good for you.
They're all like A-type personalities. They're all in great shape.
Sure.
So you can
and they got
see,
lots of time.
Right? Nothing but time.
Because you compete, most of them compete four or five times, right, over the course of 18 days or whatever it is. So they got lots of time. So, Allie, help me understand this. So if I'm an American Olympic athlete and I decide I want a Swede, mm-hmm. I can passport it to Sweden and kind of bring up all those people?
Oh, no. If you're an athlete, it's already set up over there. You're on that local Tinder, wherever you are, according to your location.
This is for people traveling. Gotcha.
Or, no, it's for people like me that are watching the games, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to set this to Pyeongchang. And then I swipe with an athlete. They come back to the U.S., and I'm already on their swipes.
Like it.
See what I'm saying?
I like it.
Right? I've done it four times. Awesome, you guys.
Well, I hope you and Adam Rippon are very happy together.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Some birthdays for you. Singer Rihanna, actor Miles Teller, TV show host Trevor Noah, who side gigs as a cable guy, mm-hmm. NBA legend Charles Barkley, actor Jay Hernandez, Backstreet Boys singer Brian Littrell, and comedian Chelsea Peretti. And that's what's happening.
So like every other, workplace situation in America, you come in after the particularly the long weekend, you start talking to your coworkers, hey, what did you do this weekend? Anything fun? Allie says, well, my weekend involves puke.
Sure does.
Puke?
Yeah.
And that's not what you want. You don't want to be in a vomit situation.
Mm-mm. You're not surprised by it, but...
It wasn't you, though, Allie, right?
It so much was me.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, I went up to Big Bear this weekend mm-hmm. with... a friend of mine from high school lives up there now. So we were going to have a little mini reunion. And I left Friday at 2:30 thinking that's fine, right?
That's good thinking.
Apparently not. There was a 5-fatality accident on the 10, which pushed some stuff back. Then it moved everybody over to the 210 in Rialto. And in my head, I was like, where's Rialto? Is that near where I'm going in Big Bear? Turns out exactly where I was going.
Oh, no.
So it took me nearly 6 hours to get to Big Bear.
That's the worst.
Yeah, good times. I finally get up there. Things are great. Hanging out with my friend. Another friend from high school comes up. So we decide on Saturday we're going to go to the other side of Big Bear and get some food. And my friend said, do you want to sit in the front? And I said, oh, no, I'm fine in the back. And she said, you don't get car sick? And I said, well, no, I don't get car sick. Who gets car sick? And she goes, well, there's just some little switchbacks on the way. And if you get car sick, just sit in the front. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm sitting there and this whoosh that came over me, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
Have you never been car sick
never
before?
Never in my life.
Oh, my God.
So I decide, which apparently is the worst idea, just going to lay down.
Put your head down is terrible.
Put my head down.
Yep.
Quickly pop back up. And I said, going to need you guys to pull over. We pulled over. I get out. And I, I projectiled like you read about. And then my friends are laughing because it's all splashing back, getting on my Adidas. I'm like, not on, my Adidas. Not my Adidas. And they're like, spread your legs out like you're doing the splits. I'm like, I'm trying. And I'm just puking.
They're doing play-by-play, trying to give you help.
Yeah. And I was expecting one of them to Instagram story it because they're rotten. They didn't.
They should have.
Delightful, right?
We've got vomit!
Yeah, to the lovely people whose home that was right in front. I mean, I tried kicking dirt over it like the custodians used to do when you were a kid.
Dirt.
No. It's just, it was bad, and I apologized.
Vomit.
Turns out I do get car sick.
Wow, who knew?
So I know that now. Other than that, fantastic weekend. Mm-hmm. Went to the Atlanta screening last night. They had two of the episodes that they showed, and then they had an after party that you took a little shuttle bus to. We went on the shuttle bus. Did one loop around the party, and I was like, it's nine. I got to go. We got to head on home. And that was pretty much it.
Wow.
But there was puke and some Atlanta watching.
All right.
At least last night you left without vomiting, so that has
I
to be
did.
Considered a success, right?
It's a win, yeah.
Okay. I was in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Oh.
Went to see my dad.
Okay.
Had a fantastic chocolate milkshake while I was there.
That's a great story.
Excellent.
I may have to go back there. I had two interesting things happen to me. One is, and we've had this conversation a lot, Kevin, and I think you and I have, grown into a similar opinion on this, which
okay.
is when you see a huge star in public, don't say anything.
Yeah, just walk away.
Mm-hmm. If you have an admiration for this person, don't ruin their day by being another jackhole that goes up and asks for a selfie, right? I saw somebody at the Las Vegas airport yesterday that I would treasure for the rest of my life a photograph with, one of the most iconic and famous people in the history of the 20th century.
Wow.
And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? It's going to ruin her day if she has to talk to me. As it does most women, by the way.
True.
They have to talk to me.
It wouldn't ruin most women to talk to somebody.
Right.
But if that somebody is being...
Just not me. And I'll tell you, though, just even not talking to her, just being so close to her and seeing how fabulous she was made me smile. And it was Diana Ross.
Wow.
In person. Alive and well. Diana Ross. Kevin, you seem unimpressed.
Well, I mean, I don't think I would have had that level of excitement for
Diana Ross.
She's
Diana Ross.
She's right. Diana Ross. And I was thinking about how she is one of the most iconic women of all time.
I don't know if Kevin heard.
I did. I heard
it Diana Ross. Right?
Diana Ross.
One
Diana
of the most
Ross.
Iconic African-Americans of all time.
Uh-huh.
She's a gay and lesbian icon. She
right.
is a brilliant entertainer for 60 years. And there she was, feet away from me. Did I blow it? Did I ruin my – miss an opportunity?
No, I think you
did
her
the right
a favor.
Thing?
You did her a favor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was that's the upside. That's the beautiful thing that happened to me in Las Vegas. Here's the other thing that happened. And I did post a photo of this on my Twitter, at Clyde Tumbaugh, over the weekend. But I want you guys to tell me if I did the right thing. I woke up on Sunday morning to get prepared to head to the airport to come home to New Orleans. And as I was, picking up the room and packing and everything and fluffing the bed like I do,
sure. Oh.
I noticed that the pillowcase on my bed was covered in blood.
What the?
No.
Not mine.
Bean, who did you kill?
Did you kill somebody in the night?
There were followers on Twitter who said, Bean, you've just confessed to Ambien murdering an escort,
right?
But
yes.
That's not what happened.
How do you know?
Because it was just
you were
I was the only person in the room and
murder.
I wasn't bleeding. I had no nicks, no cuts anywhere on my body. I slept on that pillow full of someone else's blood all night.
I hate this story.
I hate it, too. I hate living it. So I guess the question I have for you is, because when I told Donna about it when I got home, she's like, what did the management of the hotel say when you demanded a refund? And I said, I didn't tell
them. You didn't tell them? Call them and tell them?
Why? But think about it. What good would it have done for me? I was leaving. I was checking out and going to the airport.
Well, there's going to be somebody else that is there next. Mr. I only care about myself.
No, it's not that. It's just what could they do?
They could take note that there's a pillow soaked in blood.
Well,
and
I hope that the housekeeping will take care of that.
Yeah, we would have thought that before you got there, too, but they didn't.
I did leave a note on the pillow. I didn't take the time to speak with someone at the front desk, but I did put a little note on the pillow, and you'll see this in the photo I tweeted, that said, not my blood, ew.
No.
Yes.
Bean.
What?
Not my blood. If I'm reading that, I'm thinking his blood.
His blood. No, not my blood. I said ooh because I wanted them to know, hey, look at what I woke up to.
How many W's?
Not enough, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Not enough. Guys, that was extremely unsettling.
That's disgusting.
It really is.
Possible that it was your blood. And you just didn't know it.
All right. I thought of that, too. And
then
obviously,
best case
scenario is that it's my blood. Obviously, that changes everything. I went right to the mirror and looked on my hands, on my arms, on my face, on my neck.
He was covered in blood.
And there was nothing. I was completely...
And there was a hooker in the closet.
Yeah, what about the slumped over hooker? Was she bleeding still or had it coagulated?
I was blood free, you guys. I'm telling you. I was in what seems like a dead hooker motel is what it seems like.
Wow.
But it was very unsettling. It was very unsettling.
Oh, man.
So
you didn't even call the front desk and say, hey, by the way, just for the record.
Again, that's time out of my day.
Right.
For what reason? What do I expect them to do?
Well, first of all.
The damage has been done.
First of all, as your wife pointed out, they would probably refund your money.
Yeah.
But
I didn't even think about that.
Second of all, there is going to be somebody there after you, and perhaps the system needs to be looked at.
Well, I agree.
They don't have a good system if it's covered in blood.
It wasn't ideal. It wasn't ideal. I'll tell you that. And now I'm worried. Did I murder Diana Ross?
Oh, no.
Wait. My point is, if you're going to sing the national anthem, you just sing it straight. That's the one song that you just treat. It's untouchable, and you sing it straight, and you move on.
Don't put your own spin on it.
You don't put your own spin on the national anthem.
Best national anthem rendition of all time, still Marvin Gaye.
Whitney
from the early 1980s from the NBA All-Star Game.
I think Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Really? Yes. Over Marvin Gaye?
Hendrix at Woodstock, it's got to at least be mentioned.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But bad national anthems.
You're putting Fergie in the conversation along with Carl Lewis and Roseanne, it sounds like.
Yes, Carl Lewis, whose voice cracked through the whole thing, and Roseanne, who spit.
I got to disagree with all of you.
What?
I really feel bad for Fergie, and I'm going to stick up for her. She did exactly what was asked of her, and she is Fergie. She is not Luciano Pavarotti.
Right.
No one asked her to come and sing a classically styled rendition of anything.
But
she's the Black Eyed Peas chick, boom, boom, pow.
Right, but here's what I would argue with you on that one, is that you don't have to sing this song straight. It's a given that you sing this song straight. And thousands of different people from thousands of different styles of music do the national anthem and they sing it straight.
Yes, but when you are, since you're 7 years old in Kids Incorporated and then in some other girl group, and now you're in the Black Eyed Peas, and you're known internationally as a sex symbol as much as you are known as a musical artist.
Right.
I think.
But you dial that down. You Christina Aguilera it up and you go, hey, now's not the time to be sexy because it's about a patriotic song.
Okay. Unless I mean, I certainly see the respect of the song aspect
of it. That's what I'm saying.
But then how come, you know, before social media, Marilyn Monroe can do it a million times more slutty.
And was it everybody that happy birthday?
It was.
Sorry, I apologize. Either way, you're directly speaking to the President of the United States in his presence.
Well,
everybody kind of knows you've been a pincushion for Kennedy Dong.
Right.
And yet now she's like an icon of sex symbols. My point being is Fergie is the what you going to do with all that junk person. You hire her to sing.
I agree.
And
but Mike, her voice, by the way, sounded fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with her singing.
I think she's got a great voice.
Yeah.
When she just sings, she's got a powerful voice.
It was her arrangement. And as somebody pointed out, if she was going for the my friend's drunk mom acting sexy, she nailed it. That's what this does. Let's hear some of the national anthem from yesterday.
Can you see by the dawn's early light?
I'm still with her. I'm still with her at this point. She's got some flourishes, but I think she's still okay. It's when she starts getting behind the beat and then trying to catch up, that's when she loses me.
Oh, no.
She's writhing on a piano right now, right?
She's just standing up.
Oh,
she's just standing up, and she's just trying to make it sexy. And they keep flashing from player to player to Jimmy Kimmel to Draymond Green. And they're just trying desperately to not laugh on camera. I mean, desperately they're trying.
What's so proudly wave at the twilight's last gleaming?
So far, you still good?
Nope.
Now you're out?
Nope. I'm totally out now.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight?
All right, let me ask you guys this question. She's trying desperately to be sexy, is it? Because to me, it's a complete miss if you're going
complete,
for sexy.
Complete miss.
Yeah, I no, it didn't work.
She didn't nail it.
But I do feel as if an artist is going to try to make it their own. And yes,
not
I get
the national anthem though.
But people, plenty of people do that.
Not
whether
really
jazz artists, I've been to plenty of sporting events where a rock artist will do it with a little more edge. A jazz artist will do it in a little bit more free flowing way.
But it's just a little bit off, a little bit this
way.
Yeah,
the
little
runs
bit jazz
will be a little different. This was straight up. This is bonkers.
You got to take it's bonkers. You got to take into consideration the venue. The NBA All-Star Game isn't exactly a respectable kind of sporting event. Everyone's there, kind of half-assing it. You know what I'm saying? And it does, to me, create a different environment than, say, doing it at the Super Bowl or doing it at a presidential inauguration.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Bonkers.
That hurts. That one hurts.
It's red glare.
Now, I'm going to say off-key. Bean, you said she sounded fine. That was a wrong note.
Yeah, I didn't love that note.
That was a
I agree.
Flat
in general, though, I thought her. In general, I thought her voice sounded good, and I thought there were parts of it that were good.
The bombs bursting in air gave through.
That's my favorite part.
Through the night.
What happened to the F?
That a flag was still. There.
What's happening there?
I mean, come on.
Whoa.
A bunch of people that were in the house were saying that they were sort of booing and ooing and awing and trying to figure out. They caught people like with their mouths open trying to figure out what was happening. It was spectacular.
Here's the apology from Fergie, by the way, in case you haven't heard it. I've always been honored and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. I am a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone. I love this country, and I honestly tried my best. So she wasn't out there. This wasn't a Roseanne situation where she was out there essentially spitting on the flag. She was trying.
And that's my major point.
She was trying to be all about Fergie being sexy, though.
Maybe.
She wasn't trying to do the national anthem justice. She was trying to be sexy.
I disagree. I think she was trying to do it justice. And in her mind, if you watch her face, she thinks she's killing.
Does that star spangled banner yet?
Does she still think she's killing, Mike? Did she hear that?
Bonkers.
For the land of the free.
Everybody's cheering like it's almost over.
Yeah,
come
it's done.
On. She's finished.
And the home of the.
Let's do this. And then they cut to Charles Barkley, and he said, I need a cigarette.
All right, we're going to talk to Kevin Hart here in a minute. But before we get him on the line, I need you guys to make a ruling on this. Okay. K-Rock wheels up 2018 Destination Number 2. We're giving away Portugal the Man tickets for their show coming up at the Shrine in August, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is it cool that the grand prize drawing is a chance to see Portugal the Man in Portugal, or is it so obvious that it's dumb? Do you think they looked at that and said, what if we sent people to Portugal because the word Portugal is in their name? And everybody went, yay!
I think I'm going to vote for both. I think that's probably how it came down.
Uh-huh.
And it would be fun to go to Portugal.
So you think because the play, and by the way, this is the Nosa Live Music and Arts Festival, which, Ali, you brought us information on a few weeks ago, is an amazing festival. It's not just Portugal the Man. Because the prize is so great, you will allow the punniness of Portugal and Portugal.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Ali, what do you
think? Yeah. What's the festival called?
Nosa Live?
Oh, I thought you said no saliva.
I did,
I'm
too.
Like, that is the worst festival ever.
Terrible festival.
You've got to stay hydrated, especially at those things.
So recapping, Portugal the Man at the Shrine Auditorium August 10th, and then you qualify to see them in Portugal, you guys, July 13th, including round trip, airfare, and hotel. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, destination number 2.
I like it.
So we didn't know that we were going to talk to Kevin Hart until, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. And he was there for the national anthem.
Yeah, he was.
Did he escape unscathed?
I don't know. They're talking to him in the other room. As soon as they put him on hold, we'll talk to him. But we do have to ask how the room felt about that version. Because it did look, from the TV cameras, like every single person they went to knew they were on camera and knew that they had a responsibility to not laugh.
Yeah. Draymond Green seemed to be the only one that really broke.
Right.
But wow,
but
that was.
Did
something.
You see Jimmy Kimmel's face though?
Oh yeah,
Jimmy was doing. He was doing everything he could to not crack up.
That's the face of a guy who's laughing on the inside and trying desperately not to laugh on the outside.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin Hart was also working hard at the NBA All-Star Game, doing the player introductions and more. But let's say hi to Kevin first of all. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
How you guys doing, man?
We're very good.
We're doing great. Thanks for jumping on. We're talking about Fergie. We're just playing the anthem and discussing all of the fallout from the performance. You were there in the room. What was your take on it personally, and how did you think it went over there in the room?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a big-time supporter of anybody in entertainment. So, you know, I'm always going to applaud. I'm always going to say, you know, the performance was good simply because she got up there and she made an attempt to do her rendition of that, you know. So you get an applause from me.
All right.
I'm not a negative guy.
So you're a positive on all people who try entertainment. What was the house like during the national anthem? What were the people in the audience? How were they responding?
They were, you know, it was mixed reactions, of course, but I think that's one of the things that naturally happen when you go in and you do your own rendition of something that people are used to. So that's why I said on my side, I give the support and the applause to her for just having the balls to go in there to try to switch it up a little bit.
All right, Kevin Hart, you are one of the most popular and acclaimed comedians in the game today. But even you must have critics. And I was wondering, as when you worked on Saturday night and you were essentially roasting LeBron and all the other players there with your comedy, did you get any kind of pushback from their fans?
Always. You always get some. I mean, look, that's the gift and the curse of entertainment. You know, everything is not going to always be liked and approved by the masses. I think we're in a world where the opinions of others is what's celebrated. People love to voice that opinion, whether it be positive or negative. So you can't let that stuff affect you. You have to have thick skin and understand that good or bad, it shouldn't affect you or your craft. You know, it should never take you off your, I guess you would say, your hustle. You should always have the mindset to give 100% and to do 100%, you know, 100% worth of work within your job. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I just don't get affected by that. But I'm different. Other people can't maneuver the same way. And, you know, I think that the opinions of others really has an effect on some. It just doesn't with me.
Did you wake up this morning and look at a Google alert for Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle and you're like, we just crossed $900 million. We haven't opened in Japan. I have nothing to say to anybody. Everything's great.
It's really unbelievable.
Right?
I mean, when you look at the success of Jumanji, you're talking about a movie that's not a superhero movie. This is not Fast and Furious. These movies aren't expected to do this. You know, we were expecting 300 million, maybe 400 worldwide if we're lucky, maybe.
Wow.
To have a movie that's now in that billion-dollar conversation is insane. You know, it's insane. I'm blown away. You know, the fans, of course, are who we owe the success to. We were given an amazing story, an amazing script, and our director, Jay Caston, did an amazing job of putting us in a position to win. All we had to do was just show up to work ready every day, give it our all, and we did. And in return, look at what we're dealing with now. One of the biggest movies in history.
And you and Rock together are the team that we always want to see. I mean, you guys are magic together. Is it as much fun for you two when you're hanging out as it looks to us in the audience?
100%. Look, he's a brother to me now. You know, we're friends. And I mean, that chemistry, you can't force that. You know, either you have that or you don't. And in this case, we really do have it. And it's good. I think it's really good for us to have that dynamic, for us to have that chemistry, and be able to shine the way we're shining on camera. You know, this is something that the fans love, of course, and I think as long as we do a good job of switching up the material and always showing up and giving the people something that they're not expecting, I think we're putting ourselves in position to win.
We're talking to actor, comedian, author Kevin Hart here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, the reason Kevin's on is because he's coming to town. The Kevin Hart Irresponsible Tour, it has been announced. We'll be playing the iconic Hollywood Bowl, you guys, on Thursday, June 7th, 2018. I can't imagine there are very many venues you haven't played yet, but when you see Hollywood Bowl on the schedule, that feels good, right, Kevin?
Oh, it does. This is actually the only venue that I've never played. You know, I'm an arena act. I've been doing the basketball arenas for quite some time. So now with L.A., I said, man, I've yet to do the Hollywood Bowl. That's a landmark. I'm all about making history. I'm all about doing the unexpected, breaking ground. And to be a comedian, to go into Hollywood Bowl by myself and do a show is unheard of. It's insane. So that's what I want to do.
Is it difficult as a comedian to play a place that big where it takes that long sort of for the audience laughter to get back to you? Is it a different timing thing?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I think it's better for me. It's something that I've gotten extremely comfortable with. You know, I think the talent within performing in these big arenas is turning the arenas into a comedy club. You got to make it as intimate as possible. And the way to do that, of course, is with your production, you know, with the visuals that you're given. And, you know, you're captivating people with the stories and the material. Naturally, they're going to stay glued to their seats, and, you know, they're waiting for the punchlines. And I also think because people can't use their phones when they're in there, it makes the shows that much better. You take people back to the day and times where the phones didn't run our lives. And when they sit and they actually watch a show and they enjoy that show, it's like, oh, my God, I did that without pulling out my phone and trying to record every ounce of it. Oh, my God, I don't need to take my phone out. I went almost an hour and 45 minutes without touching my phone. This is crazy. You make people get back to being humans, which is a good thing.
The show again is Thursday, June 7th at the 2018. If you haven't heard this yet, Kevin Hart bringing the Irresponsible Tour to the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets are going on sale this Friday morning at 9 a.m. Friday at 9 to buy tickets to see Kevin. Or you can win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give away a few pair at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to give us a call. Kevin, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you. And by the way, congratulations on your Eagles, too.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I'm still celebrating.
Talk to you again, sir. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you guys. Listen, Los Angeles, like you said, June 7th is going down, man. Make sure you guys get your tickets. The show does not disappoint on any level. It's me at my best, man. I'm so proud of this hour and 15 of material. So get your tickets. Be a part of history. Hollywood Bowl, me once again at my best. I can't wait.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Do it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Hey, because I'm awful at announcing, it occurs to me that when we're doing the Kevin Hart interview and I'm talking about the on sale for tickets, I said tickets on sale this Friday at 9 a.m., February 16th, which was last Friday. So right. That means that tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, I thought that, but then I thought, don't contradict Bean because he's always right.
Mm-hmm. But I was just reading what was on the paper here, and it says this Friday. And, of course, this was paperwork from last week, I guess.
Ah.
So this Friday, irrelevant. Last Friday is when the tickets went on sale. So if you want them, buy them now, Ticketmaster.com, to see Kevin Hart June 7th at the Hollywood Bowl. That dude knows how to do comedy. That's going to be a fun night.
He does. That's true.
That's real good. All right. Tuesday morning here on K-Rock, 6:56. Apologize for that. Allie, what's happening?
I have not had a chance to watch it, but I can't wait because it premiered over the weekend. The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale is on Netflix, so we can catch up on that. But this came out, and I thought, oh, of course. You can blame the Kardashians for the soup being canceled.
The Kardashians?
Yeah.
For
so
the soup.
Yeah, they were both on E! Entertainment. And apparently, way back when, Kris Jenner would complain about the jokes that Joel McHale was making on the show about her family.
That means he's on target.
Yes. So the head of E! At the time, Ted Harbert, would literally call and say, hey, man, Kris called. Just lay off for a week, will you? And McHale would be like, are you kidding? And then he said they were restricted from airing certain clips and comments about the family. But then when this guy Ted Harbert left and the new regime came in, he said, quote, the next administration, the president said to my face, quote, don't make fun of the Kardashians. We don't want you to make fun of the Kardashians anymore. So I was like, this show is doomed. And it was.
Wow.
That was it on E! What a bummer.
Wow. Not surprising. But
not surprising in the least, yeah. But come on.
They're the Kardashians, for God's sakes.
For God's sakes. DirecTV raising prices for NFL Sunday ticket, you guys. An all-time high in 2018 will be set with $293.94.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's not with the Red Zone channel. That price will increase to $395.95.
Oh my gosh.
What?
That's insane.
That's a lot of money, you guys.
Wow.
For football. Who's I can't.
Sorry, Andrew. I'm going to miss you.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Poor Andrew. He's going to be okay, though. I saw that Bean posted a picture of this over the weekend, but as part of the Smashing Pumpkins reunion tour announcement, Billy Corgan posted a pretty cool photo on Instagram. It's two little girls from the cover of the band's landmark 1993 album, Siamese Dream, all grown up. So they recreated the cover shot, which is the first time they had ever met. They're older. Certainly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't stay the same age as
they
the photo 25 years ago? That's weird.
They actually grew up in that 25 years.
How about that?
Yeah. But no word on whether they stayed in touch in those 25 years. Like, obviously, they're little babies at the beginning. But did their parents say, hey, Allie, Lysandra, get together?
I doubt it.
No.
Wouldn't that be cool if you were one of these kids who gets on an iconic album cover? If you're the B-girl, you're the kid in the pool for Nirvana's Nevermind. I mean, that would just be like a fun party conversation, right? You'd always have kind of a cool story. Hey, you know the guy, you know that album cover? That's me.
You know the B-girl?
I don't know that you know the B-girl you're looking at her as funny party conversation.
But you would be interested if you met her and she said, oh, I was the B-girl on the Blind Melon. You'd be like, oh, really? How did that happen? What was that like? What's that been like for you? I mean, it would at least what I'm saying is it's a good opening conversation starter.
Do you want to make one up? Like, you can just lie and say you're someone.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's not a bad.
Because people know that they can Google, obviously, their Nirvana kid chasing the $1 bill. Like,
right.
Oh, we saw your weenie.
We should all go through and find an album cover that we can claim that we were on.
That was
the
us.
Kid.
Absolutely. Let's do
I like
that.
It. That's a good idea.
We'll
I was the kid on the U2 Boy album cover. That was me.
Were you?
Wow. That was my face. Yeah, I don't talk about it very much, sure. But yeah, that was me.
That's incredible. We're idiots. Some birthdays for you. Actor Miles Teller, Trevor Noah, Charles Barkley, Rihanna, Jay Hernandez, and Chelsea Peretti. And that's what's happening.
So we found out at the end of last week that Bean's in a crime ring.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knew?
That's not accurate. I don't think I'm in a crime ring.
Who knew that was
do
a thing?
Do we dare talk about this on the radio?
Guys, I didn't do anything. I'm not involved at all.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Cops get a hold
guilty.
Of this tape.
Hey, coming up, Kevin's going to talk about his new favorite Olympic athlete of all time, and then The Bachelor Report, breaking down last night's episode with Petros Papadakis. That's this hour here on K-Rock. What the kids are talking about is I had a situation in my neighborhood a couple of weeks ago that I shared with the team last week. And I don't remember if you guys thought I did the right thing or wrong thing, but let me lay it out for you again and then we can discuss. OK.
All right.
I'm sitting on my front porch and a sheriff's vehicle pulls up right in front of my house. And
you make a run for it, right?
No, I don't.
That would have been my instinct, was just to turn and run.
Of course.
Because you assume they're always looking for you for something, right, Kevin? So he pulls up in front of my house, and as is the custom here, because nobody cares if traffic can move, he just leaves his car in the middle of the street, opens up the door, and steps out, and walks up the sidewalk, not to my house, but to my next-door neighbor's house. And he goes up, and he knocks on the door. No answer.
So you're just watching.
Knocks on the door again, a little bit louder. No answer. So I offer to the officer, who's only a dozen feet away from me on the neighbor's porch, I say, oh, they're usually at work this time of day. And he said, really? This is the second time I've been by to see them. He says in a scolding voice to me, by the way, as if I'm somehow responsible for my neighbor's
comings
and goings.
Because you're covering for him.
But I'm not.
You clearly are.
I was trying to be helpful by letting him know that in all likelihood, my next-door neighbors were not home because, like regular people, they have jobs, right? So he says, this is the second time I've been here for them. And he's a little bit annoyed. And he walks back to his car and drives away. So here's what I brought up to the show last week. When I saw my neighbors next, which was a couple of days later, do I tell them that the sheriff's department has been to their house twice looking for them, or is it none of my business and I stay out of it?
Do you know them?
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're friends, but we are neighbors who chat, and they sit on their porch sometime. I sit on mine. We talk, you know, and we run into each other on the street and stuff like that. I know their names.
Do you make moonshine together?
I'm not sure why
that was your pull. Just because you're on your porch.
Where that came from?
It's just because you're on your porch.
Just playing a jug.
people have porches here, guys.
Right.
I wouldn't say we are friends. We are friendly. And I'll tell you, part of why I didn't say anything to them.
Oh, you didn't say anything.
Yes.
Crime ring.
I didn't say anything to them. It doesn't make me guilty of anything. It doesn't put me
we'll
in a crime ring.
We'll decide that.
Is that I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't want to be a guy who tells them something that might potentially be very upsetting for them. And believe me, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what type of thing the sheriff's department comes around and knocks on your door about. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that it's anything serious, because I think they would come at night if it were serious, because if they were trying to arrest you or something like that.
What's the downside of telling them?
I don't know.
But you don't have to know anything. All you do is say, hey, by the way, the sheriff's department was here a couple times looking for you.
Okay.
And that's
it. Let me ask you this.
And back out.
Is that then embarrassing for them to have somebody in the neighborhood know their business and know that the sheriff's department is looking for them?
Let me flip it around then. If they were coming to your door, would you want your neighbor to tell you?
I would, yes. I would want to know.
Think okay, then there's
so.
Your
I would
answer right
but
there.
That, but I don't expect everybody to feel the same way I do about things.
No, but I think you would want a little heads up if the sheriff's department.
I thought it would put them in an awkward position, because now every time they see me, they go, oh, there's the guy who knows that the feds are after us, or whatever it ends up being.
Now it's the feds.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the actual circumstances were. I was trying to, A, not get involved, and B, protect them from any kind of awkwardness.
How about this, Bean?
You were trying to protect them.
You tell your neighbors, and they're not up to, like, serious no good, but just a little bit of no good. And now you're the neighbor that alerted them that the cops are onto them.
Boom.
Guess what? You're now good. They tell the whole neighborhood, like, that dude next door, he ain't no snitch.
Right.
We got his back. You now have a solid rep in your community. You are good, Bean.
How
you
know do you snitches know? Get stitches. You
I've heard that, yes. I've seen the tattoo on your chest, Kevin.
Right.
Yes, Allie, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But is it another and more likely possibility that they have to kill me because I know too much?
Okay. Yes.
Are we worried about that?
You went straight Allie on that one.
I don't think we are worried about that. I think if he just shows up twice, you give him a heads up,
because
you'd want one.
Yeah.
And so now you're telling me that I'm a bad neighbor.
I don't think you're a bad neighbor. I think you just playing dumb. What if the cop then comes back, gets him and says, hey, your neighbor's seen me out here a couple times. We talked. He said you're here later in the day, so I came back. Now you're the neighbor that didn't tell them.
Right. No
that
more
the cops
moonshine.
Are looking. Yep. Playing the juggalo. Solo juggalo.
Don't take away my moonshine. I didn't think about that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Earlier today, we were all recapping our weekends and all had very exciting activities outside of the home. It sounds like, Kevin, you spent the entire three-day weekend on your couch.
I mean, I do.
By yourself.
I do love the Olympics.
Flipping between NBC-affiliated channels so you can watch all the Olympics in the world. And you have a new favorite, a new favorite athlete.
My hero. Mm-hmm. I would call her my hero.
Oh.
Her name is Elizabeth Sweeney. Mm-hmm. And she's 33 years old and she's from the United States. And she had a run, I believe it was on Saturday.
Now, she's not skiing for the United States, though. She's Hungary,
no.
Right?
She could have never made it with the United States.
Yeah. she used her grandparents' heritage, and she's skiing for Hungary.
Right. But what she would do is, to qualify for the Olympics, you have to make a certain amount of stops on the world tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she picked a sport which was called free ski halfpipe. And mm-hmm. it's basically you use skis in the half pipe. And she is not talented. And she could barely ski.
So she's not doing tricks. She's not doing the spins.
No,
and, okay.
She's the most dull. She'll go down and then up to the edge of the half pipe and then just turn and go down. She didn't even try tricks.
Okay.
So it sounds like her strategy might be, if I don't fall, I get a certain number of points, even if I don't get extra credit for anything flashy.
I mean, that was how she got there, is she would go to world championships at places where there weren't 30 people in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is have a certain amount of top 30 finishes.
Okay.
To qualify for the Olympics. Yeah.
So you go to an event with
madness.
19 competitors,
yes.
And you automatically are in the top 30.
Right. So she did enough of those to become eligible to be an Olympian. So then she skied for Honduras.
Her mom
is Honduran.
Okay.
And then she changed from Honduras to Hungary because
I think it was Venezuela, by the way.
Venezuela
was her original country.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I'm just kidding.
But have you seen her interview? Like, what's her take on this? Does she look at it as she's gaming the system, or does she look at it as, hey, I'm following all the rules and doing the best I can and happy to be here?
I think both, because she has said to the press, I'm going to be in the Olympics someday. But she knows that she's not good enough, so she just tried to figure out a way. And it involved a lot of travel.
Oh, a lot of
she
money,
had to go
I bet.
All around the world to go to these competitions where there weren't 30 competitors so that she could be top 30. The best she ever finished in all of those qualifying runs was 13 out of 15. That's the best she ever did.
She's like a real-life Borat. Where she stepped back and analyzed the system to expose its lunacy.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, honestly, we should all bow at the altar that is her. She's amazing.
Well, she did go to Berkeley and Harvard,
she
by the way.
Graduated from Harvard.
Obviously a smart lady.
Wow.
And, I've started to kind of dive into the world of stand-up. And every other night you go up, there's the guy who's really good. But just to make his friends laugh, he bombs on purpose.
Uh-huh.
This is like her doing that, but she got her own HBO one-hour special. And she's going to the world, like the highest level of something and deciding to commit to that. It's one thing to do it at those regional meets. The fact that she had the balls to commit to doing it.
Yes, all the way
in
to the Olympics.
All the way to the Olympics. She looks like she never has ever skied in a half pipe before. And that's her Olympic run.
So let me ask you guys this. And by the way, Kevin, you were right about the travel. She's competed in China, Italy, France,
right.
South Korea, Canada, New Zealand, and all over America.
And she would try no tricks. And then invariably, one or two people would try a trick and fall.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
she would end up ahead of them because she tried no
tricks.
Awesome. Doing nothing, right.
So
are you guys saying that your problem is, am I reading this correctly, your problem is that she's going to the Olympics knowing she's not competitive in her sport.
That's not a problem.
Yeah.
She's a hero.
I'm with Kevin completely.
She's my hero. She showed up at the Olympics and skied for Hungary.
And it's not like she took somebody's spot and was competing seriously. She went out there knowing this was her goal. Don't fall all over the world and I qualify. It's not like she's stealing a spot. She exposed a loophole and she went after it. That is good old goddamn American tenacity.
Right? How smart is she?
The only thing she can do to make it better is if she accepts a medal wearing the American flag. Just middle fingers in the air. Like, oh, yeah, right, Hungary.
What medal is she going to get?
Who knows?
She got a third. She got a 30 out of 100. That was her score. And by the way, when she was skiing, they didn't exactly have the A team of announcers.
Oh, no.
It wasn't the B team of announcers. Mm-hmm. It was this guy.
Sweeney. Energy. From Hungary, out of Oakland, California now.
And she's sort of like doing the snowplow down to the...
No!
Yes, she is. Down to the half pipe.
34th in the World Cup.
34th in the World Cup. Because I assume there were only 34 people.
13th in the half pipe at Secret Garden earlier in the year. What can she deliver on here? In Pyeongchang.
Okay, now the announcers sort of have to take it seriously because they're announcing the Olympics.
Right.
So he's like, what can she do? And so she just starts going very slowly and not trying any tricks. And
it's
just
like watching a kid on a bike with training wheels.
Yes, it is, very much so. But listen to this guy's partner trying to call it play-by-play.
Liz Sweeney dropping in, trying to get into this right wall for a nice, just getting up to the top of the wall.
No, he's seriously like, she's getting up to the top of the wall, but no higher.
Going for these grabs, the safety grab you'll see there, and then opting for another, just cruising up to the top of the wall, showing the judges she can make it down this half pipe clean.
Now, how do they not start laughing?
Why are they golf announcing, by the way?
I don't know.
Most Olympic coverage is a little more exciting.
Well,
than that.
Most ski events are more exciting.
This is just like when someone prank calls live news on television. They're on the receiving end of someone gaming the system.
They're just
thinking, like, how do we not lose our jobs along with this prank? Let's at least try to deliver some goods.
Going for the alley-oop spin down at the bottom.
She did go up to the lip and then went down backwards. She did do that.
Tricky.
And that was at the end.
Going to the left and then a nice cruise 360 to switch, trying to show that she has a little style down at the bottom.
So she gets down to the bottom.
She's trying to show that she has a little style.
She gets down to the bottom. I'm not kidding. She puts both hands in the air like victory.
Dude, is she the new... Do you guys remember Eddie the Eagle? Is she the new Eddie the Eagle?
Except for Eddie the Eagle performed. And she really honestly didn't.
Yeah.
She barely made it through without falling.
I think she should be like the spirit animal of the Kevin and Bean show. Like shooting for the bottom.
Shooting for the bottom and attaining it.
Yep.
Congratulations.
I couldn't help but notice, Kevin, that French ice dancer at the Olympics that had the wardrobe malfunction and her boob came out during her routine.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Papadakis.
And you're
did you notice that?
And you're saying that didn't surprise you?
Gabriella Papadakis. Hey, P, is she one of yours?
Well, I mean, in that she's from the island of Crete, probably originally, yes, but Papadakis is kind of a common, well, it's kind of like the last name Novak or something in Greece.
Okay. I see.
So she's Greek, but, you know, she's obviously French. The real creepy thing here is that I lost a nipple in a football game against San Diego State in 98.
Right.
And then suddenly here is Gabrielle Papadakis with her own out. And
that's
I just can't help but recognize the coincidence or irony. There.
Is she taunting you, do you think?
I don't know. She definitely has the family nose. She ain't got no trouble breathing.
All right. Well, P is here because it's Tuesday morning of the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time for the Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the peeps, can't stand a man, so we watch The Bachelor so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is
Last night's episode started with the Bachelor Ari saying these words.
This has been such an amazing journey so far. It's crazy to think that we started with 29 women, and now there's 4 women left. One of these women is going to be my wife.
So they're still going with the one of these women is still going to be my wife.
Can he say it like he wasn't reading a cue card?
He is the most dull bachelor. Am I correct?
That was like a high school football coach reading a public service announcement cue card. That was horribly performed.
So it's home.
Can we just talk about the Olympics?
So it's hometown dates. Did this make you? Did you hate this, P?
Yeah,
because I sort of did too.
Becomes, this time of year becomes deeply arduous, as you guys know, but. At the same time, I did enjoy seeing all those dead animals and his uncomfortable nature there.
Here's the thing. Kendall is one of the final four, and she takes him to her home in Los Angeles, and she opens up a garage full of taxidermy animals.
Oh.
Full of.
Is she a collector, or does she taxidermy?
She taxidermies.
Oh.
And
I'm more impressed with her because she is a taxidermist and not just a collector.
Okay.
She reanimates dead flesh.
At least she's got a skill.
Yeah, that is, you know, at least it's something. But it's kind of funny that they juxtaposed her opening a warehouse of animal carcasses to be reanimated while she's saying, you know, people just don't get me.
That's true. I'm just so happy that somebody gets me. And then she walks inside that warehouse and she has 2 dead, empty rats that she is then going to taxidermy with him.
Oh.
Here's your rat. Here's my rat.
Little team project.
Let's stuff it.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And they do that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, she's gone. What were you thinking at that point, P? Were you thinking, no possible way is this guy picking her?
You know, there was the girl who was the mortician and took the guy through the embalming process.
Oh, man.
These are terrible dates.
These are terrible dates.
She got sent home. So, you know, I felt like she was dancing on the dizzy edge of that. But, you know, she has her Zooey Deschanel big eye quirky thing going.
She does.
So, I mean, I guess he's into that. They're all smarter than him.
Oh, no question, yeah. But this is the episode that where it sort of gets, like, ugly because they go to all of the hometowns and they meet all of the parents and the brothers and the uncles and everybody else. And the parents and the brothers and uncles all know that this is a reality TV show and it's a terrible idea and there's no way they want their daughter or niece or whoever to get married with this system. But they put the cameras in their faces and they interview them and they make Ari talk to all of their parents. And it gets so uncomfortable because he has to pretty much lie to each one.
But you know this process. I mean, we've been
–
is this foreign to you? I mean, we've been watching this process of the hometown dates for years.
Right, but this is the episode that for me sort of turns it and makes it a little sad because the parents have to like go, well, you know, if it's what she wants, I have to learn to trust her taste. And you know inside they're screaming, oh, God, no.
Is it because you can see yourself in the, not that your kids would ever go on one of these shows, but you get what they have to do now on television.
Yeah,
you're right, Allie. That's a big part of this because when you have the children that want to be on some stupid show, you know, everybody gets dragged into it if they make it to the end, and they're all miserable because who really wants to make out on TV? Only the idiots, the underbelly, the barnacles on the bottom of the boat of society.
So that he goes to all of the hometowns, and he goes to Wiener, Arkansas, which is where Tia is from. Yes, Wiener. That's where Tia is from. And clearly, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, P, but the producers gave the brother the tip that he's known as the kissing bandit. And he gets around a little bit. And the brother.
Yeah. And at the University of Colorado, there's a buffalo that runs on the field. His name is Ralphie. And it's actually a girl, but that's not relevant to the story. To get Ralphie to run out on the field, they kind of prod him with like an electric stick.
That's what they were doing, yes.
It's kind of what they did with this dumb animal.
And then so then he tries to question Ari.
I heard some things about, you know, you're like maybe a little bit of a playboy, you know. The rumors are out there, you know, the kissing bandit. Is that something that I have to look forward to? How can you prove to me tonight that that's not who you are?
How can you prove to me tonight that that's not who you are? Well,
I'm going to go kill a squirrel. I mean, the rumors are out there. The rumors? Just watch it on TV, you idiot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
There's no rumors.
He's dating 30 women. But of course he's a kissing bandit.
But the reason that I think that the producers probably told them that is because they don't do this. Don't they shoot the whole show early, P? Aren't they done with it by that point?
Yeah, I mean, my question, my whole question would be, maybe it's misunderstood and he's like a really tough gay guy.
Nope.
Who's like, is that what I have to look forward to?
So then what,
you know, like, you know, go in the bathroom and move your foot over, you know? Maybe he was doing that.
Maybe he was. So then one of the other girls, Becca, was talking to her mom and was explaining the process that at the end of this show, I might get engaged. Is that all right?
So the next time you could potentially see me, like, it could be an engagement and a proposal. And I told him coming into this, if you were to ask for anyone's approval, it would be my mom's, because obviously I don't have dad here. And I mean, like, would you feel ready if he did that? No.
Don't be ridiculous.
Thank you, Mom.
The best part was the dad busted through the door in a hovercraft right after they... Hey, I'm here!
He's dead. The dad's dead. Okay, so...
Oh, here goes!
So, Lauren's mom, this is the person that really grills him the most. And this is... I really enjoyed this because she's pretty much talking to Ari about, how are you doing this? There are four girls now that are in the running to be engaged.
It's a show. They're all familiar with the show. Right, the Bachelor is just the person in place that goes through these motions.
I understand that, but it's Lauren's mom that is asking Ari all the tough questions.
So, I don't know where to begin. So tell me about things with you and Lauren.
No, she's very much like me, I feel like. And the cool part is if I remember having a bad day, I kind of look to her, and just by looking at her, I feel comforted, for sure. In that aspect.
You mean this sincerely?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the triple. You don't answer things three times.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
First of all, that's a lot of Xanax in the mom.
That's true.
She was very subdued.
That is true.
I'm falling in love with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
Huh. But what about these other people? How are you handling that?
I feel like that's the difficult part about all this, is just to really be open enough to allow some other relationships to build.
So you're not compartmentalizing each of these remaining relationships?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of worries me.
You have to, in a little way, because if you don't, you don't allow yourself to really make a clear decision.
He's trying desperately to explain to her that it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And she's just not buying it. Not even for a second. So then,
how is she not familiar with the process of the show?
Dude, I don't know, but she was asking him all of the questions as if she was just being introduced to it for the first time.
It's been on for 20 years. This is not Joe Millionaire.
So they get down to the end, and you got Kendall, and you got Becca, and you got Tia, and you got Laura. And Tia, from Arkansas, is let go. And she doesn't get a rose. And she's really, by the way, Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, I think she's really broken up about this.
Well, who doesn't want to be saved from Wiener, Arkansas?
So he wants to comfort her.
He didn't do anything wrong.
I was that overconfident? Did I say thanks too much?
No, I just...
Tell me something.
You didn't do anything wrong. You are an incredible woman. And anyone would be lucky to be with you.
But anyone would be lucky to be with you. But I'm letting you go.
Passing out lewds?
A very subdued program last night, it looks like.
It's terrible.
It really was. And next week, they have two episodes. One on Sunday night, where all the other women come back.
Oh, the women tell all.
Women tell all. And then Monday night, he has to pick and propose.
So Thank God the women are coming back.
Right?
It's three now, right?
It's down to three.
Right. Okay, got
it. But the women are all coming back on
Sunday.
We
have three more episodes.
And the only thing that I care about is Crystal coming back on Sunday night, because they all hate her.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see some girl fight tonight, Julie Brown style, the redhead.
I love it. Great reference, babe. Hey, Petros is the co-host of Petros and Buddy Radio Show at AM 570 LA Sports. Always a pleasure to have you on the program Tuesday mornings. Thanks, Pete. This has been the Best Report.
The Best Report is in the spot.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
What was happening there? Were we in a McDonald's situation? Is that what was happening there?
Maybe.
That's what I sensed was happening. Hey, we accidentally made fun of a person with a disability. We don't feel good about it, but we are going to confess and hear your stories coming up right after 8. First, Allie's here. What's happening?
And by we, everyone in this room except for me. I just want to point that out.
So far. So.
Yes, Chip?
So far.
And Chip. Okay. Everybody is bad except for Chip and me.
All right. Apparently it's a guy problem.
Bean, me, Mike.
Yeah.
All were asses and didn't realize it.
And not the same person.
Oh,
all
no.
different times.
All different times, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. And yet we weren't in a McDonald's situation earlier. It was a Red Sparrow situation.
Ah.
Kevin was shocked that I really want to see this movie because it's a total Kevin type of movie.
1,000%.
But I absolutely want to see this. It is Jennifer Lawrence, Joel Edgerton, and Charlotte Rampling. And Jennifer Lawrence plays a ballerina. She's recruited to something called Sparrow School. And it's a Russian intelligence service where she's forced to use her body as a weapon. I mean, I get that to my core.
Do you?
Yes. But her first mission, targeting a CIA agent, threatens to unravel the security of both nations. It comes out on March 2nd, but I'm going to give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Red Sparrow.
Yeah!
Yeah. The AMC Burbank on
Call
February.
1-800-520-1067. I love you.
So the AMC Burbank 16 on February the 22nd. Let's take callers 20 to 24 at...
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
And you're going to win a pair of those passes. And it might be one of your last times to see Jennifer Lawrence up on the big screen for a while.
What?
Yes. While talking to Entertainment Tonight about her movie Red Sparrow over the weekend, Jennifer said, quote, I'm going to be taking the next year off. I'm going to be working with this organization as a part of Represent. It's about trying to get young people engaged politically at a local level. But that was apparently news to her reps.
Oh.
Who said on Monday, she has 7 different movies in development right now. So someone needs to chat with her about what her schedule is really looking like.
Hmm.
But yeah, very, very interesting news right there. And Bean, get ready.
Uh-oh, what?
Is Kiss gearing up for a farewell tour?
I mean, come on.
Haven't they been on a farewell tour for the last 20 years?
Decades, yes. Well, apparently the band has just filed for a trademark on the phrase, the end of the road. And it's to be used exclusively by Kiss for entertainment services, namely live performances by a musical band. It was filed on February 8th. So no official announcement, but why would you trademark the end of the road and it can only be used by them in live performances unless it was a finishing tour?
I'll tell you who should be ticked off right now is Boys to Men, who have more right to use that than anybody.
Yes.
If they wanted to go out on a tour called the end of the road tour, they should be allowed to. I don't know what to tell you. There have been ample opportunities for us to see Kiss in recent years.
And they've been less than stellar?
No, they're great. Mm. They're a great live band.
Mm.
Still Paul Stanley's voice hitting those notes?
Look, he's never been a great singer. They put on one of the most entertaining shows in rock history.
Okay.
And I'll be in the Kiss Army till the day I die. But, you know, that whole generation of rockers who came of age in the 70s are getting to the age now where they're starting to either die or retire. I mean, we look at all these tours that we talk about all the time of people who are leaving the road, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, you're Elton John or you're, you know, Leonard Skinner or you're Ozzy Osbourne or any number of others, and you just go, look, what am I going to do this till I'm 80? You know, you walk away.
It's true. And you definitely want to retire before you die. Like, you don't want to reverse that order.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you die on stage doing what you love.
Oh.
Pretty sweet.
Like the lead singer of Morphine?
Sure.
Yeah. He died. He had a heart attack right on stage. Died. Google it, kids. One of my all-time favorite bands. Moving along, some birthdays for you. Singer Rihanna, actor Miles Teller, Trevor Noah, NBA legend Charles Barkley, actor Jay Hernandez, Backstreet Boys singer Brian Littrell and comedian Chelsea Peretti. And that's what's happening.
New week, new great prize. K-Rock Wheels Up 2018 destination number two is Portugal. The man in Portugal, the country, you guys. You get tickets to see them at the Shrine August 10th, and you're qualified to see them at the Nos Alive Music and Arts Festival in Portugal on July 13th. That includes round-trip airfare and hotel. Pretty good deal. Great band. Great country. Your chance to win coming up at 9 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Allie, what story was it that started this conversation?
I did a story in What's Happening about Ozzy Osbourne. Somebody from, I believe it was Rolling Stone, asked him, what's the craziest thing that ever happened on tour? And he was talking about this one night, he just spotted this whole clump of people just not moving, not reacting, just not having fun at the show. So he doused these people repeatedly with buckets of water until he was told,
God damn it, you have to rock it, my show.
Until he was told, that whole section, they're deaf. And yeah.
He had no idea.
Yeah, they can feel the music. They feel the different rhythms. He didn't know any of that and was mortified. Mortified.
Because
Mike, it's not that funny.
I mean, it is pretty funny.
I mean, you need to get up on his head.
Buckets of water.
Oh, that's not good.
So we started talking about how sad. First of all, it is hilarious, but it's also unfortunate. Ozzy Osbourne wasn't trying to be offensive to the handicapped, to the disabled, whatever the preferred term is. It wasn't his intention at all.
Right.
And then I brought up off the air my favorite. Do you guys remember when Senator Joe Biden, former vice president, was given a speech, and I think he might have been running for president back in the day. This was before he was vice president. And he pointed to somebody who was in the audience, who was a state senator, if I remember correctly, and said, hey, stand up. Let the people see you. I mean, he wanted to pay tribute to this guy. And then he was told,
come on, stand up.
Senator Graham is in a wheelchair. He can't stand up. And Joe Biden was just like, oh, God bless you. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. But that's a perfect example of no ill intent whatsoever. In a million years, he was never intending to make fun of a person who couldn't walk. He just didn't know.
And right. Then I had a story.
And then we started thinking about, wait a minute, I think this has happened to almost every one of us on this show.
You were unknowingly cruel to somebody with a disability. So I was at a radio station in Phoenix, and I was working with some equipment on the floor, and somebody walked in on crutches. And I just threw out, without looking, hey, what's with the leg? Thinking, like, how did you hurt your ankle or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And a girl said, that's not funny. And I turned and looked, and she didn't have a leg.
Oh.
But I didn't know that.
Right.
And then said it. I just threw it off the cuff. And then afterwards, I was like, wow, I'm an asshole.
My story is very similar.
Hold on a sec, Mike. Hold on. So in her mind, Kevin, you knew she didn't have a leg.
I mean,
and intentionally asked,
hey,
what's up
with
the leg? Imagine what was going through her head at that point.
Yeah, she must have thought I was just a complete ass.
And that was completely...
All I saw was the bottom of a crutch. That's it.
Yeah.
And I was just making fun of, they must have hurt themselves doing something, and how awkward are you or whatever. I was just making a joke.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here at K-Rock if you unintentionally made fun of a person with a disability. All right, Mike, you're up.
I was on crutches in this story. I was a freshman, and I hurt myself playing football and then went to the varsity game later that night. And I had hurt myself pretty badly, but I was on crutches, and I thought I was going to be okay. Varsity game starts, Star Spangled Banner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to stand up. I'm really injured. And a guy about three or four seats down from me goes, hey, you stand up for the national anthem. And I go, dude, I'm like 14. I'm like, dude, I got an injured leg. And he pushes his pelvis forward and he goes, I have no legs. And by
did
his
you stand right up?
By his I shot up. Yeah. I shot up like it was my job. And by his delivery and the look of him, I'm pretty sure he lost him defending our freedom. I never felt more small.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst.
Well, it's not the worst. It's the second worst.
All my friends around me,
worse.
It was perfect for all of my freshman friends around me.
Because
they were
first.
Like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Right.
But
what's worse than that?
All right.
Hold on.
Ryan Seacrest
tried
to high-five a blind guy.
Is that the worst?
That was funny. No, the worst is my man Bean. Now,
what?
Back in the day, we used to make a lot of jokes. We used to say things because they were inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was funny. And that was the culture at the time a lot more than it is now.
Right.
So Bean used to always say this, and it got him in a lot of trouble one time when we were all meeting in the conference room. It was everybody from the radio station and the radio station group. It was just packed. And it was being led by somebody in HR.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to tell us how to talk to people and how to not offend others and everything else. Now, Bean, at the time, was not in the room. He was on the phone.
Okay.
So he couldn't see mm-hmm. that the woman from HR that's leading the meeting is in a wheelchair.
Okay.
He doesn't know that. So Bean, on the phone, makes a joke that he made on the air a whole bunch. He doesn't mean it all, but it just cracks him up. And he says, well, you guys know that I don't like the handicapped. They're not as good as us. He says that on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And she's sitting in a wheelchair, and she's leading the meeting.
No.
She recognizes that Bean has no way of knowing that, that there's no possible way. And she rolled with it.
That's not what I meant at all.
That's not First, what I meant she's all. Sitting in a wheelchair, and second, she's rolling
That's
with
not
it.
What I meant at all.
Come on. What choice does she have?
That's not what I meant at all. What I meant was she laughed along with it, knowing that Bean had no way of knowing that she was in a wheelchair.
She played along with it, is what I meant. And it was super uncomfortable for about 15 minutes, and then we were able to all move on. But for about 15 minutes, all I could hear was noise in my head. It was just...
Oh, man.
It was a woman from HR in a wheelchair and Bean saying that he doesn't like, handicapped people.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Right?
Well, you're right, ma'am. You're right.
So the topic is, you didn't know, and you were cruel to somebody that had a disability, and had you known, you wouldn't have been that way. That's the topic.
Shall we take one before the break?
Sure.
All right, let's go to line two. Let's make it Josh. He's in Long Beach to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, thank you. What happened?
Excellent. Okay, so not me, my wife. And it was a family incident over the holidays. My sister has a couple of boys. They have Tourette's. And so they were visiting for the holidays, and I was trying to say something in the living room to everybody. My wife was in the kitchen. And I couldn't quite get the words out. She can't walk in. She's like, what's the matter? You got Tourette's or something?
And she
knows. Everybody knows they have Tourette's. So as soon as it came out, it was just this really awful silence for a moment. Just blink, blink.
I wonder if under ordinary circumstances, she never would have chosen that term to use, but it was in her head because she was saying to herself, whatever you do, don't mention Tourette's. Don't mention Tourette's. And then she just couldn't help herself.
It had to have been something like that, because as soon as she said it, I saw her face. She was just like, oh, my God.
All right, Josh, appreciate the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll get to you next.
All right, just ahead of Portugal the Man, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Nancy. Hello.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
You unintentionally made fun of a disabled person. What happened?
I did. It was his last Halloween, giving out candy at my friend's house, and kids come up and they don't say trick or treat, and I'm very traditional, and I think you have to earn it. So I said, say trick or treat to a 5-year-old. He wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't respond, and I said, I'm not giving you candy until you say trick or treat. Finally, his sister says he can't talk.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, kid, don't applaud. Come on.
Nancy.
You're a bad person.
Did you give him extra candy?
I did. I said, here's some extra candy. And thankfully, the mom was in nearby, and she didn't hear it. And she's waving from afar saying, thank you.
Right. And what's he going to do, tell him?
Oh, my God, Kevin.
What?
Terrible.
You're awful.
Nancy, you and Kevin are both going straight to hell. But thanks for listening to K-Rock. That's the band, by the way. You can win tickets to see coming up in about 30 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Right now, we're taking your calls and your texts on you being unknowingly cruel to the disabled. Derek writes in from Huntington Beach. When I was attending Cal State Long Beach, I was in an elevator in the library on the 5th floor. Well, the elevator goes down to the 4th, picks up some more people, then the 3rd. Now the elevator is uncomfortably full, and then it stops again on the 2nd floor. Before the doors open, I say to the small crowd, what kind of a jackass can't walk down a single flight of stairs? I think you can see where this is going.
Oh, no.
The group chuckles. The doors open to reveal a young man in a wheelchair. I was quite embarrassed, and I got off the elevator to make room for the wheelchair dude and then hung out on the second floor for a long while to avoid seeing the other people on the elevator. I mean, he didn't know. He didn't mean it. But still, right?
Right.
All right. Let's get back to some calls. Let's make it David line 5, please. David joins us from Cerritos here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
What'd you do? Why are you an evil, awful person?
Well, it wasn't me who was the evil, awful person. It was just, someone else. I guess I was the victim.
Oh, okay.
About a year ago, I go to soccer practice. And for the longest time, I've had a full head of hair and a beard. And I show up, and my hair is gone. And one of the other dads says, "Hey, what's with the shaved head? Did you lose a fight with the Clippers?" And I said, "Kind of, sort of, but no, not really. I got diagnosed with cancer, and the chemo made my hair fall off."
And
his eyes welled up with tears. His face turned red, and he was so apologetic. I mean, I couldn't help but laugh. Knock on wood, everything's good now. But it was like, I could see the look in his face like, oh my God, what did I just say?
I like that you did try to make it as bad as possible for him.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're healthy, David.
Same.
Great call, David. Thank you so much. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Wow, I keep looking at him. I go, well, that's awful. Well, that's awful. What are we going to do? All right, let's go to George, line 2. He's in Brea. I think we're going to regret this call, but let's see.
Hey, George.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, this was about 20-something years ago, and I wasn't the actual cruel guy, but I was an unwilling participant.
Okay.
I worked at a Japanese karaoke bar, and my boss would constantly get drunk while we were working. And a guy who was kind of a paraplegic came in, and I guess he didn't see his crutches or whatnot, but he thought he was drunk. And so he told me, "Hey, that guy's too much drunk. Kick him out." And so I had to go to the guy and tell him, "Hey,
oh no, you didn't.
You're drunk. I got to kick you out."
Did you kick him out?
So, no, I told him he had to go, but he didn't want to. But then he willingly left on his own.
Why? I don't understand. Why did people think the paraplegic was drunk?
Because he kind of like just stumbled in, and then my boss was drunk, and he didn't see the crutches. Yeah, so he kind of stumbled in the way he was walking. So when my boss looked at him, saw he was kind of like hobbling in, he thought he was drunk, so he immediately said, "Kick that guy out."
Paraplegics could walk at all. Shows what a dummy I am, right?
No, he had one of those crutches, you know, the ones that are kind of permanently attached to your hands. Those.
Right, so. Okay. I got you.
All right, you lost me, but thanks for trying. Appreciate that. All right, why don't we try Dennis in Montrose, please, line 7. I'm next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. So we're talking about accidentally offending someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do it, but my the manager of the place I was working at did. He was a little rough around the edges, to say the least. But the guy called up and wondered if we had a part pulled off a car at a wrecking yard. And this manager tells him, well, he says, "We don't have it pulled off yet." But he says, "I'm so busy. I'm busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest." So a couple hours later, the guy comes down to get his part and walks in the office, and guess what? He's got one leg.
Man.
He was pretty good about it. He thought it was funny. Yeah, I got to use that one. Boy, I like that.
Like, what are the chances? I mean, he could have said that to a million people in a row on the phone, and none of them would have had one leg.
Same with you, Bean. Same with you in the media.
I guess.
And that's something that would happen to me, too. You know, open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just one, though. I feel like we need some sort of redemption after that awful segment with our awful listeners, don't you?
Sure. Being cruel to people with disabilities? Yeah.
Right?
That wasn't good. Like you and Kevin and Mike?
I mean,
hey, yeah. It's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
This is a feature that Allie came up with last year that gives us the opportunity to spotlight the wonderful, beautiful things that human beings sometimes do for one another. And it oftentimes doesn't make the regular news. So we thought at least we can carve out once a week a little segment here to talk about these stories. And Allie, I think you're up first this week.
Yeah, I've read this story, and here's a shock. I cried. But it was the visual of this happening because we can all see it. The airport. It's a nightmare. People have high anxiety about flying. There are kids going nuts all over the place. This one woman, she was flying from L.A. to Portland, and she wrote about something that she observed that just moved her beyond words. She said on Facebook that there was a toddler who looked to be about 18 or so months old having a total meltdown, running between the seats, kicking and screaming, then lying on the ground, refusing to board the plane.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
And his young mom...
Clearly pregnant
and traveling alone with him, was completely overwhelmed. She couldn't pick him up because he was so upset, kicking. She's pregnant. You don't want to take a kick to the belly. So the mom finally sat down next to her toddler, put her head in her hands, and just started sobbing, just completely overwhelmed with the moment. And that's when this woman that wrote on Facebook said she saw the most beautiful thing. Six or seven women from all around the boarding area just slowly walked over, and they encircled this woman, and each did something different to try and calm this little boy down. One gave a sippy cup that her kid had in his bag. Another one tried to sing Itsy Bitsy Spider. Another one was peeling an orange, so she let him help her peel the orange and have some of those slices, while another woman was comforting this mom. And it was all done completely silently. It's just six or seven women getting up from their seats and just moved over to encircle this woman with love and compassion. And she ended the post with, "It occurred to me that a circle of women with a mission can save the world, and I'll never forget that moment." And it's just, it's so beautiful that you take the time out of whatever anxiety you're going through getting on a plane. Maybe you hate flying. Maybe your kid's a piece of work next to you. And you take that moment for another mom. And that's just beautiful.
That is beautiful.
You're going to cry again?
A little bit. That's my great news.
That's okay. A real It Takes a Village story right there, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah.
Mine comes from the town of Goodhue, Minnesota. It has a population of less than 1,000 people, and it doesn't have even a single traffic light. It's one of those tiny towns. Howard Snitzer, 54 years old, who didn't live there, was heading to buy groceries at Don's Foods, and he crumpled to the sidewalk, suffering a massive heart attack.
Oh, no.
The grocery clerk called 911. The only customer in the store, an off-duty correction officer, rushed to his side and began performing CPR. Across the street, the owner of a body shop heard the commotion and hurried over. And when the off-duty correction officer got tired, the guy from across the street started doing CPR on the guy. That changes the whole story.
They really took off his clothes, so he was more comfortable.
As news spread, the numbers grew. In total, about 20 people worked to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah, they wanted to see a naked dude lay it in the supermarket.
He wasn't naked.
Giving this man CPR for over 96 minutes.
Really?
Because there's no 911 in the town.
911, they were talking to, and they said, if you had a heart attack, keep going, keep going.
I would never have known that. I would think after 10 minutes, it's a lost cause.
20 minutes, 30 minutes. Yeah. They lined up, and as soon as somebody was out of energy, the next person would jump in, and they would give them CPR. Nurse that flew in on a Mayo Clinic helicopter said it was unbelievable to see that there was the guy giving somebody CPR and 20 people lined up behind him.
Oh, wow.
And none of them knew who that guy was. It wasn't like they knew him because he was part of that tiny little town.
And but he died at the end of this story, right?
No, he was in the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, he made it?
For 10 days, and he walked out and walked back to that town and thanked everybody for saving his life.
Oh,
someone stole
his
car while he was in the hospital?
No. It's all good, Bean.
I'm trying to figure out what the problem is here.
No, there's no problem. He almost died, and 20 different people saved him.
A bunch of strangers did a train on him, though. Wow.
Oh.
What's happening?
What? Wow.
It's your story. Don't look at me.
You're changing my story. My story was great news.
Okay. And finally, on this edition of Great News, what do you think the number one cause for bankruptcy in the United States is?
Medical bills.
Russian
you
brides.
You are correct.
Oh.
Medical bills. Crushing medical...
Did you say Russian brides?
Your debt?
Okay. Crushing medical debt has millions of Americans really up against it. Because, let's face it, if you're sick, you don't have any choice. You got to go to the doctor. And a lot of times you go in for a little procedure, and the next thing you know, you get a $2,000 bill come to your house that you just can't pay. Those debts pile up, and eventually they get turned over to collection agencies. Now, this is something that I didn't realize. Listen to this piece of this report from Cairo 7 News in Seattle.
It's how medical debt is sold that doesn't help consumers, experts say. Medical debt can be sold multiple times. A $1,000 bill could be sold to a collection agency for as little as 10 bucks. However, the amount you owe can grow at 12% interest annually. In 6 years, the debt almost doubles while the agency still pays 10 bucks for it.
And in some cases, we found that interest starts accruing from the moment you walk into the hospital facility.
Now, I didn't know that at all, and I had no idea that the medical debt was sold to collection agencies like that, pennies on the dollar, they do with mortgages, with people who are underwater on their houses. All right, so Cairo 7 did this story, and they interviewed lots of people, including one woman who was diagnosed as an early teenager with multiple sclerosis, and she's a perfect example of somebody who gets on that treadmill of having to have constant care and tests and everything else that she can never repay. She can never keep up from. So Channel 7 in Seattle decided, Jesse Jones, the guy who does this segment that I used to watch all the time when I lived there, by the way, decided that he was going to try to do something about it. So he got in touch with a company in New York that buys these medical debts. And listen to what happened next.
After hearing stories like Joelle's, we decided at Cairo to make a difference. So here's what we did. Cairo spent $12,000 to buy $1 million of medical debt. So what will we do next? We are forgiving every single cent of that debt. If your debt is forgiven, you'll get an envelope like this. The letters will go out to 1,000 people.
Now, because of HIPAA regulations, they don't know who these people are, but they contacted this company based in New York called RIP Medical Debt, which sounds like they're doing wonderful work nationwide. And they said, give us all the people you can find in the Seattle area, because that's our viewership. So 1,000 people are going to get letters in the mail that says you no longer owe this money. How wonderful is
that? That's phenomenal.
It's also shocking that you really don't owe that money anyway. Like, that company bought it for 10 bucks for $1,000 or whatever.
Yes.
Unreal.
So it's not really, you really don't owe it, but still they're trying to capitalize on it.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they would give the patients the opportunity to settle that debt for pennies on the dollar instead of going after them with a collection agency and taking away their homes or whatever else. But anyway, I'm going to look into more of that information on the RIP Medical Debt Company out of New York. But that's a wonderful thing that Channel 7 did in Seattle, and that's my great news.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Allie McKay, what's happening?
Black Panther did some pretty good numbers over the weekend.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. So originally it was, okay, maybe between 160 and 180. We're going to be super stoked on that. And then it was, you know what? It's looking pretty good 3 days into it. What about maybe up in that number? They had no idea that it would make $235 million domestically and about $404 million worldwide.
In the first weekend.
Yes. Yeah, it's the highest opening of all time for a film in February, as well as a film released over President's Day weekend, handily crushing Deadpool, which held that record before at 152 million, which nobody thought anyone would top that. Holy. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Sometimes the experts don't know everything. You know, we had Kevin Hart on the show earlier today, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the wildest expectations for his Jumanji movie were $400 million worldwide. It's over double that now.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah. Black Panther debuting $235 million, followed by Peter Rabbit, 50 Shades Freed. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, brought in another $10 million. And it just pushed it over the $900 million worldwide mark and has yet to debut in Japan. So it's going to crush there as well. Rounding out the top five, the 1517 to Paris, followed by The Great Showman, Early Man, Maze Runner, Winchester, The Post, and Samson debuted at 2.3 million, which came in at 11. So not sure why that top 10 had an 11.
Number 11?
But there you have it.
Maybe there was a tie at number 10, so they both count as being in the top 10.
Could be. By the way, Black Panther has good word of mouth as well, so there are a lot of people who didn't see it this weekend. Who still will.
Yeah.
So it's going to do quite well.
And I had a friend that posted his third ticket going to see it this weekend.
I saw it twice. Like,
did you really?
Yes. And stay after the credits, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff happens. We mentioned this before, and I'm fascinated in the Olympic Village hookups over there in Pyeongchang. Instead of just, you know, walking out, meeting at the cafeteria, maybe hanging out, saying, hey, hot alpine skier two doors over, they're just going to Bumble. And this is happening on the app Bumble. 50% spike in swipe since the game started over a little week ago. So they're just, they're boning a lot over there. And Bumble says the alpine skiers are getting more hookups than any of their fellow Olympians. And then according to the app, followed by hockey players ranking second, freestyle skiers and cross-country skiers, they're about tied neck and neck. And snowboarders and ski jumpers just not doing
springing
much.
Up the rear?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. What are the snowboarders doing?
Are they just
Maybe they're not going on the
Bumble app.
Yeah,
they're actually having conversations.
It's very
like
possible
human
they're
beings.
Actually having parties and stuff and meeting up people.
Yeah, that could be. They could be old schooling it.
Sure.
Or they're just all boning each other. Snowboarders. They're not even leaving their area of the village.
I see.
Because snowboarders are the hottest, right? Who's with me?
Professional athletes in this country, basketball players get the most sex, right? Wouldn't you think?
I would think basketball just because they're in a different city each night. Football players, they're somewhere just for a few days, so that's kind of hard.
Baseball, they're dull.
Baseball, yeah, they're just, you know, pudgy and drinking beer.
Right.
Actually, I would say probably baseball players because that's a longer homestand.
Oh, because so you have time to work it.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, at least my ex, yeah.
No.
That was a good time. Yeah, he got someone pregnant when we were dating.
Oh.
That was fun. Listen, this isn't
Let's talk
about
more
me.
About that.
This isn't about me, but he was a good time.
For more than one person.
Yeah. I got to read about that in the paper. That's a whole other story, guys. Whole other story.
That may
story.
Be a great phone topic. How did you find out your significant other impregnated another person?
Yeah, yeah. He did it at a spring training.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was just getting in shape for the season.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
spring
was.
Spring training. What?
Bean, I'm really proud of you for that one. Kevin, you have to say that was phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Kevin,
give it to him. That is a complete waste of time.
I'm sorry.
Kevin.
Look.
Give it to him.
All right.
Congrats, Bean.
Way to go. Speaking of STDs, according to New York Post Page Six, their gossip column says that Bravo makes their talent sign an STD clause where they refuse to take responsibility if someone pops up with a social disease.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's not really original because producers on Jersey Shore used to hand out herpes medication Valtrex like it was M&M's.
I can imagine that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you have to take a test before you go on one of these shows because you are just going to be getting down that much, that's a lot.
That's a lot of getting down.
I don't love it. And you guys, Sylvester Stallone wants you to know he's still alive. He's kicking it. Sure, he's 71, but he was the victim of an online death hoax yesterday.
Oh.
He had to clear things up on Twitter saying he's alive and well and happy and healthy, still punching. Which is, it's concerning when you read that you're dead.
I would think so, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Your day's not going all that
well. You're better than that! You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Yeah, I would assume it would be kind of rude to find out you were dead online.
That would be a weird situation.
Yeah. What are you doing in there? Oh, just tweeting that I'm alive. No big deal. No big whoop.
But if you're a celebrity, Don't you kind of want to read what people say about you? You get the opportunity to see the outpouring after your death?
I mean, you're assuming there's going to be an outpouring.
If Sylvester Stallone died, I bet there would be, and I bet it would be largely positive. I bet
but
that would
think
make
he's
you
gonna,
feel pretty good.
He's going to wait it out for a couple of weeks?
Just read.
I would.
At least
what do you mean you would?
But
then
I
when
would.
You come out and say you're alive, you're an ass. Because people thought you were dead for 2 weeks.
Just saying, it might be fun to kind of get the opportunity to eavesdrop on that a little bit. That's
you
all.
You don't want to eavesdrop on that.
I probably don't. Okay. I probably don't, no.
Some birthdays for you. Singer Rihanna, actor Miles Teller, TV show host Trevor Noah, NBA legend Charles Barkley, actor Jay Hernandez, Backstreet Boys singer Brian Littrell, and comic Chelsea Peretti. And that's what's happening.
LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's a world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
How about one more What's Happening? Here's Allie.
How about some tickets? A four-pack of lift tickets to K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain.
Yay!
It's happening. Yeah, kids love it. It's happening this Saturday with performances by the Dirty Heads and K-Rock's Jeremiah Redd. We are going to take... Yeah.
1 degree in Big Bear this morning when we came on the air.
Oh.
1 degree.
That's chilly.
That is chilly, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying that's chilly?
It's a little chilly, 1 degree. Uh-huh.
Who knew it was so cold where they get all that snow, right?
It's true. It's true. And I believe it did snow Sunday night and most of Monday, so there's some fresh snow up there, too.
All right.
Good, good stuff. Five winners are going to get that four-pack of lift tickets to K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain Saturday, February 24th. Anyone can attend the free concert on the deck with Dirty Heads and Jeremiah Redd, but why not get a few runs in before? Head to krock.com for another chance to win. Let's take callers 20 to 24
Call
right
now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Well,
not
I yet. Don't believe it. Not just yet. Yeah.
We got a winner!
Again.
Call now.
Okay. So if you call now, then we'll
call
have
now.
A... Okay.
1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
We had Kevin Hart on earlier.
We did. That was a surprise to us.
It really was. Yeah, out of nowhere. You guys want to talk to Kevin Hart? Sure, absolutely. But he was on to promote that tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster for his show. It's the Kevin Hart Irresponsible Tour, and it's happening at the Hollywood Bowl on June 7th.
But who cares?
Well, we care, Kevin, and so do you. He said it was
I'm still a little tipsy, but the world can kiss my ass.
Well, that wasn't from the interview. That was from him celebrating the Eagles win. He's a huge Eagles fan. But yeah, he said it's his best hour, and he's super proud of it, and he wants everyone to go.
And I was also surprised to hear him say that the Hollywood Bowl is the only venue he's yet to conquer.
Yeah.
He's played every place else that he's ever wanted to play except the Hollywood Bowl. So it's a very special show for him.
Yeah, it's an iconic place to play. And he's been doing literally stadiums and arenas for so long that I can imagine Hollywood Bowl is going to feel super intimate to him.
Sure. Yeah, right.
It's incredible.
To all the kids out there, I just want to say don't drink. You know, when alcohol is in your system, you do dumb stuff.
Right. Yeah. Don't I know it? I saw this man last night, Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us.
Did
he
you?
Was there at the Atlanta premiere because his best friend is Paperboy from the show.
Is that right?
Yeah, they've been best friends since college, Brian Tyree Henry. So I saw Sterling K. Brown and I texted Dave so excited. I'm like, Sterling K. Brown is here. And all Dave wrote back was, is he crying? Because he cries a lot on This Is Us. And I thought,
this is a very emotional show.
Dick, I love him so much. Well, guess what? He is going to be hosting SNL on March the 10th with first-time musical guest James Bay. And then the following Saturday, SNL alum Bill Hader is going to be on for the second time hosting with Arcade Fire as musical guest. So great, great return of SNL. And you know it comes back, by the way, on March 3rd. With Charles Barkley and Migos.
Sure.
A lot of good stuff in March with SNL. I might watch. That's madness. This story just came out on TMZ, and it's really scary. Serena Williams says she almost died after giving birth to her daughter.
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently she had had an emergency C-section because her daughter's heart rate had plummeted during contractions. And she said, after that, the surgery went smoothly. Everything seemed to be fine. But what followed just 24 hours after giving birth led to 6 days of uncertainty.
Wow.
She says she suffered a pulmonary embolism, which is when a blood clot blocks one or more arteries in the lungs. So she contacted medical professionals, but the coughing from the embolism got so bad, she then popped her C-section wound.
Oh,
that opened up. She required another surgery after that, where the doctors found a large hematoma, or a swelling of clotted blood in her abdomen. So she then went back for another procedure that prevented that clot from moving to her lungs. She eventually made it home and then was in bed for 6 weeks after all of that. So that's a reason not to have kids, right? I mean, that's insanity. You think you just had the baby, everything's fine and normal, and then boom, boom, boom.
That makes it even more of a surprise to me that she tried to go back to playing professional tennis so soon after she had that.
So soon, and people were actually questioning, like, I mean, she's got to go back to tennis, right? Any minute now. Like, let the woman relax. Even just having the most mundane normal of pregnancies, you're not going to get back out there on the tennis court running around and things.
What you do on tennis?
Flopping all over the place? I don't even know. But she wanted to credit the incredible medical team of doctors and nurses with the state of the art equipment and urges people to support UNICEF, which provides medical services to mothers and babies around the world. So,
intercourse?
I don't know if she's saying that right away. Maybe take a break from that.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
For a little bit. And, Bean, I don't know what's happening in your homeland, but KFC?
Oh, yeah.
KFC is closing 750 of its 900 UK KFCs after delivery problems with a new distribution system left them with a chicken shortage. So KFC has no chicken in the UK.
So you go into KFC and you say, I'd like chicken, and they say, don't have it.
They're like, how about mashed potatoes?
It's I am not going to lie.
We got some mushy corn you, if you'd like that.
How hysterical the coverage has been, as if there aren't any other places to eat in Britain. I mean, there's video of people weeping in the parking lot of KFC. I swear to God.
True.
Watch the CBS Evening News last night and you'll see some of it. These kids that are just crying that they want this chicken. There has to be 500 other places you can get fried chicken in England, right?
I just don't understand how you switch to a different delivery partner and all of a sudden there's no chicken anywhere in the country. Like, how bad did that new delivery system mess up?
Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances were with but you're right. It was a change of a distribution group.
Right, but the fact that they closed the restaurants putting it on hold for a week while they got everything straightened out is odd.
KFC tweeted out, the chicken crossed the road, just not to our restaurants. So apparently other people had chicken, just not KFC.
I think you mean KF.
Right?
Sorry. Some birthdays for you guys. Singer Rihanna, actor Miles Teller, TV show host Trevor Noah, actor Jay Hernandez, Backstreet Boys singer Brian Littrell, NBA legend Charles Barkley, and comedian Chelsea Peretti. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. So tomorrow's Wednesday. That means it's World Star Wednesday. We've also got Travis Barker and John Feldman in to tell us about Back to the Beach, the festival, and a woman married a ghost pirate. So that's coming up on tomorrow's Kevin and BJ.